Well, good morning. We finally have some rain. It feels good, actually, even if it is all weekend. We need it, so it's just very thankful to God for that. Today, we are celebrating a lesser festival, and they don't happen too often on a Sunday morning. In the Lutheran Church, if we fall during the ordinary time, that is the Sundays after Epiphany or after Pentecost, in other words, when the banners are green, or the colors are green, we have the option, if a day falls on a Sunday, to celebrate that day. And that's, today is July 22nd. It is the feast day of Mary Magdalene. And so it is something we celebrate today, because we don't get that occasion too often. Now, let me ask a couple of questions. This is a quiz, and you can just shout it out. Who was Mary Magdalene? You got to. I can't hear you. Okay. Yes, she was an apostle. Okay. What else? I'm sorry. Was she rich? We don't know. Okay. That there is a possibility. Some people think that she may have been. What else? No, that's the other Mary. Okay, Brian. All right. That's easily done because you know how many Marys are mentioned in the New Testament? Seven. Okay? And so it's easy that we might get them confused. Okay? And actually, we do in some ways because there are some beliefs of Mary that just aren't there. You said a redeemed sinner. Yes. In Luke, he makes mention of Mary Magdalene as having somebody who is possessed, somebody who had an affliction. And that's the only place that we hear about that. What about other things about Mary Magdalene? Yes.
Wasn't she the Mary that at the Passover, she was the one that came and
there is that thought that she may be that one. We're not sure. Okay? Okay? And because of that, there are those who assume because Mary was being really intimate with Jesus at that moment, and this is what men do, they said she is a woman of the night. The Eastern Church, the Orthodox Church, rejects that. And somehow that is hung on in the Western tradition, and there is nothing in Scripture that says that. She's not. I can tell you what we do know about Mary Magdalene, and that is that of two things that are extremely important. One is she is one of several ladies who look off to the distance and watch as Jesus is crucified. And secondly, according to all four Gospels, she is the first to hear that Jesus is risen or discovers the empty tomb. And in the Gospel of John, she is the one who encounters Jesus, what you hear today in our reading, the one that is traditionally read on Easter morning, where she presumes that the man standing by her is the gardener. Now, there's all kinds of other things that are spoken about Mary that somehow have taken on a life of their own, but there's actually there's nothing in Scripture that indicates this. There are other writings that are not a part of the official canon, the Scriptures that we read. There are those who believe that Mary would be known as a great evangelist, and it actually came head-to-head with Peter over the importance of women. And in fact, Peter just basically said that this is really a man's job. That's, again, a legend that goes on from later. There are other legends that say that Mary was actually intimate with Jesus, and that possibly she even got married to him, and that they had children, and that lineage of Jesus continues on to this day. Now, this is all legend. Another story has, and if you ever see an icon, you know, the beautiful imagery that particularly in the Orthodox and Eastern Rite churches have of Mary, they often have her holding a red egg. Do you know why? Well, there's two stories about that. One is that she went to Rome to bring the message of the gospel to the emperor, Tiberius Caesar. And as she speaks about Jesus being brought again from the dead, she happened to have an egg in her hand because it was a symbol of new life. And Caesar mocked her by saying, you know, Jesus, this likelihood of Jesus rising from the dead is as much as that egg turning red. And supposedly at that moment, it turned a crimson red. So that's the reason why you see her holding a red egg. And there's another story of her carrying hard-boiled eggs to the tomb. And as she looked in the tomb and saw it was empty, she turned and looked at her basket, and it was the eggs were all brightly colored. Legends. Fascinating. But I want to suggest to you that the story about Mary being the apostles to the apostle, she is the one whom Jesus says, go tell them what has happened, that I've risen and where I'm going. And she does that. Now, in some of the Gospels, we don't know how the disciples respond, but we do know that in Luke, they, again, dismiss Mary as just simply, it's all idle women's talk. And so they dismiss her until they themselves see Jesus. Bernard of Clairvaux, who was a French abbot from the 12th century, is the one that gave her the title Apostle to the Apostles. Who would have thought? But when you think about it, think about the women in history, the women in the scriptures, they are the ones who are always there. It's not the men. You know, who is the one that encouraged Paul to come and visit and bring the message? It was a woman by the name of Lydia, a dealer in purple clothes, who was actually believed to be rather wealthy, which was unique for women in that time as well. She, too, wanted to have her family hear about this Jesus. We think about Martha and Mary, not to be confused with Mary Magdalene, the two sisters whose brother is Lazarus. They are the ones that are at that invite Jesus to their house. And remember how, you know, Martha is busy trying to get things ready and Mary is the one who's listening. I want to suggest to you that in today's world, you know, women have always been put in a second setting. And for some reason, it's always been kind of the men at the helm. I think that's really just an imaginary thing. Even Catherine von Bora, Martin Luther's wife, for as much as Martin, you know, spoke and shared and was considered the father of the Reformation, it was Catherine von Bora who ran the household. She is the one who was out doing all the gardening. She is the one that ran the family treasury. She is the one that kept the household afloat while Brother Martin was entertaining at, you know, with all his friends at the table, drinking beer and having a good time. I want to suggest to you that if you listen and you hear, you know, I mentioned Elizabeth Platts, the first North American woman who was ordained. That's quite that's quite an accomplishment. Even to this day, there's still a sense of rejection of having ordained women pastors. The bishop tells me that when he goes to a congregation who is in the process of transition and looking for a pastor, will say, are you open to the Holy Spirit? And they'll say, yes. Everybody says, yes. He says, then you are open to having a woman or a gay pastor. And then suddenly they say, well, maybe not. It's amazing to me that after all these years that there are still those who believe that, you know, the ordained ministry belongs to men. It doesn't. Jesus calls us whether we are male or female. God loves us whether we are male or female. God has given us gifts that help us to be able to live with one another in such a way that each of the gifts in which we offer is what makes us unique and special as a community. What makes Pastor Marcy very special here at St. Luke's is she is the first full-time female who has been called to serve as a pastor. Of course, you had Pastor Emily Werner who was here in a part-time capacity. Each of them setting a trend, setting a path. Each of them with their own gifts. My first encounter with a woman pastor was when I was in seminary. Because, you know, in, well, that was what, 19, I'm not saying when seminary. I'm thinking 48 years ago would be, what, 1970, right? Okay, I hadn't graduated from high school yet. But I don't believe I ran in or encountered a woman pastor until I got into seminary, and about a third of my class was women, and the thought of it at first was really unique for me, because it was just not a part I was used to. But as I began to go through these classes and listen to the responses and the trial sermons and stuff, I actually suddenly realized, oh my gosh, they can really preach. And suddenly my whole world changed. And realizing that indeed there was a place. God opens our hearts and minds in many different ways. Today, society has tried to take us backwards. We have a sense of an old white man's world that is saying that it needs to be a white man's world when we are transitioning to a world of plurality. It's a pluralism where people come from many backgrounds. This country is not just simply of Caucasians, but we have African Americans, Asian Americans, American Indians. We have people who come from Buddhist backgrounds and Hindu and Muslim and Christian and all kinds of Christians at that. And there are those who are still trying to make it into this just a male-oriented world. In fact, to the point of subjecting women to things that they should never have to be subjected to. One of the things that we have been taught as Christians is that we are to respect and to cherish one another, that we see Christ in the eyes of each other, and we would treat each other as if we were Christ ourselves. And yet, the way in which we find our society is that we can see that there is a tremendous number of women who are abused through the course of their life. Trying to remember, Jonathan, was it 1 in 4? 1 in 3, thank you. 1 in 3 face some form of abuse in their lifetime. That's a terrible statistic. And it's something that you and I need to be fully aware of. That's why we as a congregation are pushing that we are now certified by Safe Haven, so that people who come here, whether male or female, know that this is a safe space to come, and that if there is abuse happening in the household, we will provide a shelter or find a place for you, and that we will help you go deal with these things. It's not something to be ignored, because that is our call, is to love. Mary Magdalene sets a path for all of us to follow. She surrenders to Jesus. The moment that Jesus speaks her name in the garden and he says, Mary, she knows who it is. She knows by the voice. She knows in faith that indeed this is her Lord. And she doesn't pause. She doesn't hesitate any more than Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is told that you're going to bear a son. Never mind the ridicule and all the things that are going to come with that by being pregnant from somebody other than your betrothed, Joseph. And Mary doesn't question that. She takes it forward, and she does as Jesus asks. How many of us can say we can do the same thing? And so she is a trendsetter. When God calls our name, we know that he has embraced us for who we are, that he loves us. We know that his son died for us, and we know that he rose again, that we celebrate life. But we celebrate life as a community, not just as a group of individuals who gather here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church or at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church or at St. Jude's Roman Catholic Church, but that we gather together as a whole family, where there are people, men, women, and children, who make up that community, and each one loved individually as God, and each one who makes up the church. There have been children who have taught me things about what faith is about. There are women who have taught me things about what God is about. There are men who have taught me about things as well. But it took the whole community to help us to understand that. So when I say names like Elizabeth Plotz or Teresa of Avila or Catherine of Siena or Sister Joan Chittister or Joan Brown Campbell, Mother Teresa, Nadia Bowles Weber, Monica, Florence Nightingale, you may have recognized some of those names, but do you really know what they have accomplished? And if you don't, look it up. Hear how God has worked through them. I am thankful for the witness of Mary Magdalene because that's why I'm here today. I'm thankful for the witness of Mary Magdalene because that's why you're here today too. And I am thankful for the fact that she was bold enough to go back to say the ridiculous thing that Jesus lives. That's preposterous. And yet, that is what we believe. And Jesus sent her to share that word with all of us. So thanks be to God for the witness of Mary. Even though we know very little of her, we do know that she is an apostle to the apostles. Amen.